Please welcome Prati Plapi, Senior Program Manager Lead, Windows and the Device Group, who will discuss developer platform updates. Let's welcome Plapi.
Hello and good afternoon to all of you. Thank you for joining us here in Taipei for the last session at WinHack. So I know all of you have had two great days of different topics on universal drivers, some of the changes which are coming. So I want to kind of talk about a little bit of different topic in a way, I would say. But first, let me introduce myself. My name is Pradeep Parappil. I work for WDG in a team called Developer Platform. What we really do is we, specifically my team, is we work with some of our top partners on some of the pre-installed scenarios. So essentially, we work with OEMs and IHVs. So it's great to see some familiar faces and friends, as well as some great partners that we work with. So welcome again. So today, what I really want to talk about from an agenda perspective is I really want to talk about three different things. I mean, you've talked about all of the stuff which is coming with Win10s, universal driver, hardware support apps, and also some of the interesting stuff around Ink and mixed reality. So I'll talk about three different topics, which are related in a way and hopefully a little bit relevant for you as well. The first and most important thing is, quite often as we talk to our partners, we kind of hear, you talk about universal Windows platform, you talk about apps and store, what is it really, why should we really move towards that? So I really want to give you a little bit of a flavor of some of the investments we are making, and that's the direction in which the platform is moving from a developer perspective. So we'll talk about Project Roam, which you may have heard about, and also some of the investments we are working on the design system, which is Fluent. Again, not the entire set by any stretch of imagination, but just a flavor of that. The second part is I really want to make sure that all of you go back with a feeling that I know that you are OEMs, you are IHVs, and you tend to have applications and experiences which are slightly different from what a normal ISV develops. And that difference also means that you need to talk to hardware, you need to control certain things on the machine. And quite often the question is, can I do this with an app in the store? Can I do this with the Universal Windows platform? We want to at least present with you some options which you think you can take away home. Hopefully it kind of works for you. And at the same time, what I want to do is make sure that the feedback, if there's anything which we are kind of missing, it's something which we can take back as well. Maybe not here, but as part of the Ask the Experts. And the last piece is that, the platform is great. You are OEMs, you are IHVs, you build millions of machines every year, and you kind of tend to install experiences on those machines, right? You tend to install hardware, you tend to install software on it. You tend to install things which control the machines, as well as certain interesting things which could be related to entertainment, some kind of games, etc. So what is really important is that as you ship these millions of devices to your customers, Microsoft takes a lot of effort in making sure that our products and our OS is accessible to everyone. We want to make sure, or at least I want to bring this forward to you, that you also take into account the fact that there is a whole lot of people out there who may have slightly different needs, right? Some of them have permanent requirements, some of them temporarily. So I want to talk a little bit about accessibility as a last piece of. So three things really, a little bit of a flavor of UWP, a little bit about what we can do to bring your apps into the store, and of course the final thing is accessibility. So let's talk about UWP, right? You've been hearing about this for some time. Why is it that you should really invest your effort or get your apps into the store? So if you really look at it from a platform perspective, our direction is towards UWP. So if you look at it, all of the new APIs which are coming in Windows, all of the new experiences which are coming in Windows, they are all coming on the Universal Windows platform. So if you are an app developer and you want to take advantage of some of these new experiences, new capabilities, you really want to be on the Universal Windows platform, right? The second thing is, we are not saying that, it's like a all or nothing thing, right? We think it's a journey even for our developers. And with that in mind, and I have a slide on this, we want to make sure that you can take advantage of some of the technologies and some of the investments we have put in place some of the tools we have made available for you to take your app from where you are today. See, we are talking to an ecosystem, and a lot of the key members of those ecosystem are right here in this room. You have investments on applications, you have investments in experiences which have spanned 20 to 30 years. As we know that those investments are valuable to you, and we don't want you to just discard it. We are saying move it in a way, and the bridge is a way to do that. And we're working closely with our community, right? I mean, we as a team are working with many of you here in the room to make sure that your applications are able to get into the store, to create certain nice experiences which are interesting for our consumers. And that is a collaboration which we really hope we can continue to have as we go forward. So even if you look at RS2 itself, right? I mean, we talk quite often about what is it that is really coming in every release, etc. We kind of have a faster cadence of releases these days of Windows. And what you will see that even, like, if you look at the Creators update itself, you will find that there are so many enhancements in the platform, right? I mean, think of all of the ink-related enhancements which were shown yesterday, things support for new types of support for the desktop app bridge, enhancements on Project Roam, whole lot of support on the input. So if you look at it, I mean, this is by no means an extensible set of all of the APIs or the capabilities that we have brought in the creators update. But at the same time, it gives you an idea that you are seeing that all of these changes have come, and it's on the Universal Windows platform. So if you are an application developer, you want to create some experiences which are different, you want to change the UI interaction model of your apps, then some of these investments are what you really care about. And if you want to take advantage of these investments, then what you really want to do is you want to make sure that your application is either UWP or at least on the path to UWP through one of the different mechanisms which I'll just outline. Now obviously, the question is, why would you want to bring it to the store? We'll talk about it a little bit. So kind of switching gears a little bit, you know, you have Universal Windows platform, but what is it that really, why would I really want to get these experiences into the store? So first and foremost, moving your application into UWP means that you kind of enter the whole new world of Windows experiences which we're working on. For example, Project Roam. Project Roam is all about cross-device, cross-platform experiences. And I'll talk to you a little bit more about it. Yesterday in the morning, Robert at the keynote talked about what are some of the problems people are facing, right? I mean, think of you yourself, right? I mean, you live in Taipei, and I'm sure, and you see a whole lot of people using multiple devices. For example, I mean, we have data here which says in the US alone, people spend more than 7.5 hours a day looking at screens. I mean, forget about you, I look at myself. Most of the time we have a phone, we are looking at it, we are doing something on it, we are reading something, we are listening to music. And as you go further down the age bracket, the younger they are, this number looks disproportionately higher. It's 7.4 hours for this. I'm sure for somebody who's like 12 or 15 years old, that number kind of increases even more. And this is not like, it's not a behavior which you see only maybe in the US or Europe or wherever. Across geographies, we find that people tend to have multiple devices. They're having a PC, they're having a phone, and they may have a tablet as well, right? And more importantly, what we're saying is that these people are living actually in a heterogeneous environment. It's the reality of today's world, right? We live in a multi-platform world where you could be using an Android phone, you could be using an iOS phone, you could have a smart TV running any different platform. And the problem is every time you transition from one device to the other, you kind of lose it, right? I mean, for example, I mean, think of it, right? It's a common scenario I'm sure many of you have been working on or can at least align yourself or relate to. For example, I mean, I quite often when I'm looking at, most of the time when you get mail, you kind of start looking at mail and maybe even responding to it over the phone. But then, you know, you get a mail where somebody says, oh, please give me this table of this, please give me this data. And at that point, what you do is, oh, okay, let me get to my PC and start working on it. Because it's a far more complex task, a different kind of work activity. And how do you start that activity? You have no idea what you were doing. You have a good idea of what you were doing on the phone. But, you know, you cannot instantiate that same, come back to the same point on the PC. Quite often you search. So it's very difficult to transfer that experience across devices to start with, and the moment the platform changes, it becomes even more different. So if you go from iOS to Windows, there's no context of what the user was doing, no context of what he is interested in, or even like, you know, surfacing some of the things which we know is important. So Project Roam is all about that. We are building that infrastructure which ties all of these different platforms, all of these different devices, and the view that you get is a user-centric view. Whatever the device, whatever the platform, we are able to give the user or the app developer a view of what the user was doing so that you can take that user from device to device, from platform to platform, without any problem. So let's talk about a typical day in life, right? I mean, I'm sure all of you can relate to this, right? Quite often we get up in the morning, switch on the television, most often kind of open the phone and start looking at things, right? Maybe if you live, if you kind of have partners or customers in different geographies like I do, the first thing I see in the morning is, oh, I have all these mails from folks who are from Taiwan and Korea and Japan, and I need to start responding to that. Or you're listening or you're watching television. Many of us commute to work, so the commute itself is something where, again, you continue to use your phone, most likely, and then, you know, you get to work and many of us tend to have some kind of a laptop or a PC. And this task kind of reverts itself on your way back, right? You go back, you're sitting in a bus or in a train, you're listening to something, or maybe you're having some fun playing a game on the phone, watching, and you get home and maybe you want to continue to play that game. So what is interesting here is that as you move through your day, you are not only changing devices and device form factors, but many a times these days, you are also moving across platforms, right? You may start your life on an Android or an iOS device from an activity perspective, move to a Windows PC, laptop, all-in-one, or any of the form factors. And as you head back, you know, the cycle kind of reverses, and more we see smart devices like televisions, etc. So this cycle is something which we want to tie together using Roam. User engagement is very tough. I mean, it's very, very hard to capture, and it is very, very difficult to bring it back on another device. So what are we doing to handle this problem, right? There are many components to that, and one of them is the Microsoft Graph. So Microsoft Graph is our cloud-enabled platform, or I would say the platform in the cloud, which ties together a lot of information. So it has information, it has intelligence. So think of information like, what are the groups you're part of? What is your organization structure? Who are the people you're talking to? What are the documents you're working on? All of this information is something which Microsoft Graph is able to intelligently provide to application developers. So you have a lot of interactions with people, you have a lot of interactions with activities, you have a lot of interactions with the things you're doing. What is really important is to be able to tie that together and surface it in a meaningful and intelligent manner. So this is what Microsoft Graph is, but you know, there are two new things we are adding here. That is activities and devices. So what Microsoft Graph is also now having is, what are the activities you're working on, and across different, what are the devices you want? So yesterday morning, I think many of you saw the demo which Robert did. So you must have seen that the first thing he did when he did press on that icon, he saw a list of the devices which this person owns. So these are devices which span across platforms. It can be an iOS device, it can be an Android device, and of course Windows devices by default. So what we're really trying to do here is, we want to make sure that as a user or as an application developer, you have visibility into intelligent information about what the user is doing, what are the different devices that he owns, and be able to use that information. So there are two ways you could use this information, right? One, the platform can use the information. You as an app developer may be able to use it appropriately as needed. So we are making available that through Microsoft Graph. But what is really changing here? Windows is connecting to the Microsoft Graph, right? So the moment Windows connects to the Microsoft Graph, what it really means is that you have a whole host of new information about what the user is doing across a very large number of devices, right? So by connecting to Microsoft Graph, Windows is able to surface a lot of information which is into the cloud, which you as an app developer can use to transition the user and the user's experiences between devices. So this is something which we have been working on, and kind of you will see some features coming in Windows, and we talked about it at Build. So one of which was Timeline, which allows you to kind of take a view of what you were doing on any of your devices at a certain point in time. And I have a set of slides which kind of show through that, walk you through that. So we want to make sure that you as an application developer have this capability to understand what the user is doing and kind of be able to transition the experiences across devices. And so Microsoft Graph, as I said, is the first step towards that. And Windows, by connecting to the Microsoft Graph, is able to transfer a whole bunch of information to an app developer, which allows you to take a user from one device to the other with some context. All of this comes under Project Roam. So I'm sure many of you have this question as to what is Project Roam. We have been hearing about it for a long time. It is really three different components. One is a device runtime. It actually allows you to connect Windows devices, Windows-based and cross-platform devices to the cloud. And basically, the second piece is the infrastructure. So this is all of the infrastructure which Microsoft is providing, which ties these devices in the cloud. And the last piece is, of course, you as an application developer need a set of APIs to access these platform capabilities and the infrastructural services. So we have made available a set of APIs which allow you to be able to use these APIs, right? And I'm going to show you an example of how we are using it as a first party, how we are able to leverage some of these capabilities. These capabilities are something which you can use as well. And these, what is interesting here is this, that these APIs are available on Android, and we also announced the iOS SDK very recently, and it's available for you to download and try and use. So you now have a set of device runtime capabilities which allow you to connect to the cloud across different platforms, infrastructure services which kind of roam them across different devices, and the last piece is, of course, APIs to access that. So let me give you an example, right? So we are talking about all these things, and obviously the question to you is, how does this relate? How does this work? The example I'm giving is one which is a first-party experience. But what we really want to illustrate here is that a lot of these capabilities are powered by Project Roam. So in this particular example, this is a cross-platform experience which we're showing, and I'll just go through this. So let's say you were actually working on a very large device. In this particular case, let's say we are talking about a Surface Studio, and what happens is that you were actually maybe using, in this particular case, a Word file or a PPT. So at this point, you will see that there is a view here of on the screen of some of the things which you can see in the timeline, right? So how do you get the timeline? So the timeline is a list of activities that you were performing at a certain point in time, right? It can be on your on this particular device, or it can be on any of the devices which you own. And what's the advantage of this one, right? The thing is, it allows you to resume with context, right? So if you say, you know what, I was on my way to work, and I had this tablet which I was working on something, and when you go to timeline, quite likely you're able to see that this particular activity was being done on this particular device. And when you click on it, based on whether that application is installed on this machine, that can resume with context. And why can it resume with context? Because this activity was published to the Rome infrastructure, either by the platform or at a granular level by the application itself. So let's say, for example, you were editing a Word document. Word may choose to transmit certain information in the activity feed for that application, saying this user was working on this document and this is where he was, so that when you move to a different device, you can resume with context. Again, it's up to you as to what you want to do. So in this particular case, you will see that he was working on this large device, and now he's moved into a laptop, right? Maybe he was in his office, and now he's on the road, or he's on a flight or something. You will see at the bottom right, you will see a list of the activities that he was engaged in. Now, the thing here is, in this particular case, this activity feed is coming from the Rome infrastructure. Because on that platform, Windows is connected to the cloud, and this activity is published, or in some cases, in this case, Cortana is the mechanism to surface this across devices. You will see that on this surface device, these three, the activity which you were working on is surfaced. Now, the thing is, it's completely independent of, whether you're on Windows or on Android. Like, for example, in this particular case, you can even get the same example on an iOS device. So here you will see that it's exactly the same, right? You saw the same list of activities. You were on a Surface Studio, you kind of moved to a different laptop, and now you're on your iPhone, and you see the same activity list, right? So you'll see, and when the user clicks on it, what is interesting is it moves into that application with the context of what the user was doing. How can you do that, right? I mean, this is how you can leverage the Rome infrastructure to move a user between devices, between platforms. So these APIs are available. These are something which you should try. I know many of our OEM partners and IHVs have experiences with span platforms because many of them tend to build devices with span platforms. What would be really interesting is to see how you can tie some of those things together. Right? How can you get a user who's on one device into another device with the same capability, with an experience which kind of moves between devices, right? The mobility of the experience is what we really care about, more than just the mobility of the platform or the device. So what are the things, I mean, in this particular case, you will see that Cortana is able to use the platform infrastructure to kind of so think of Cortana just as one more application, right? It could be your application, it could be anybody's application, and it is something which you can use in your applications as well. So what makes a good user activity, right? You don't want to just put a whole bunch of activities, because then what happens is, rather than make his life easy by helping him choose the most appropriate thing, you may end up with a lot of clutter, right? So it should not be super granular. Think of it more from a session perspective. And these are things which a user is likely to resume, right? I mean, it could be like things like he's working on a document, he's surfing a web page, he's playing a game, he's doing something which kind of he's likely to resume on another device. And the last thing is, make sure that, you know, when you publish these activities, so in this particular case, you saw that Cortana could actually see that what are the different activities which the person was doing on the other device. And you must have noticed that when the user clicks on that link for a news app, he's taken deep into the particular article for that particular that he was reading. So one is to get the user from one device to the other in the same application. But what is also even more important and interesting is to make sure that you are able to resume context as much as possible. And that is through deep linking within the application. So there are different scenarios which you can think of, and I have outlined some of these. So think of document-based applications as one place where you want to move from one device to the other. The second could be media playback, where like you're listening to video or listening to audio or video, and you want to transition the user from one application to the other. Line of business is also quite common. I mean, people tend to have multiple devices. You want to make sure that there's an easy way for the user to resume with context. And of course, games, right? I mean, these days what happens is that people tend to play games which span multiple platforms, right? For example, you could have the same game on your phone, you could have the same game on your PC, you could have the same game on your Xbox, for example, right? And you want to make sure that, at least for those of you who are into those kind of experiences, that the user is able to transition between devices, between platforms, with some context. And these are some of the scenarios we can think of. So here you must have seen all these examples are for the same user, right? You're taking the user from one place to the other, or one device to the other across devices. There are also certain other APIs available which we're working on. So think of the remote session APIs. So these are like collaborative share kind of APIs which allow, let's say you get into a room, there are three people there. Quite often you may have, or not always do you have the infrastructure to collaborate, right? To share a screen, to maybe chat with each other. So these are some of the APIs which allow those kind of group collaboration exercises, right? So here again, we know that many of our partners especially tend to build these kind of experiences and pre-install it on the machine. So here again, you know, here's an opportunity for you to kind of work on some of these experiences and use that. So we have been talking about Roam for quite some time, as some of you may have seen. It's been a journey for us, because as we have added more and more capabilities, so we made available the Windows SDK in Q3 of 16, Android SDK was available in Q1 of 17, and very recently we made available the iOS and the Graph SDKs. As we go forward towards the Fall Creators Update and more, you will find that we'll keep on adding more and more capabilities. What is interesting and what is important to remember is, what is the fundamental idea behind this project Roam? The idea is to take a user and his experience across devices, across platforms, in a user-centric manner. So hopefully this really helps you drive user engagement. You have experiences with span platform and devices. It allows you to kind of get a user from one platform, one experience, to your platform and your experience. Hopefully you'll have a chance to try the SDK. Give it a try. There are sample code pieces available on GitHub. You should be easily able to try it out and explore the capabilities. So this is something which we have been working on. So one is, like, you know, again, as I said, kind of harping back to the UWP thing. We are making a lot of investments. Please make sure that some of you can at least get your applications here so that you can take advantage of these experiences, right? This is the future. This is the world we live in. This is the way our users live in, more than anything else. So if you want to relate to what they do, how they use the PC or the phone, etc., this is one way of doing this. Kind of moving a little bit to a slightly different topic, but again related to UWP. So I'm sure we've all had Win32 for a very long time, right? Legacy UI, legacy experiences. Now think of yourself, right? I mean, what is the experience that you tend to use most? Quite likely a phone, maybe, because you spend quite a bit of time on that. And on many of the phone platforms, the user experience is completely different from what you're used to. They kind of tend to work similarly. But what is really interesting here is that the world has moved in terms of how the user experience should be. What are some of the interesting things presented for developers in terms of controls and interactions, etc.? And more importantly, user habit has also changed, right? For many of us, we are quite familiar with the old UI, some of the old design patterns, etc. But what we really want to make sure is that as the platform moves, and as our users also move, that we have a completely new design system which kind of really relates to this new world. So I'll talk a little bit about Fluent. It's a new design system, and basically it's kind of, our main goal is to make sure that you as an app developer can create beautiful experiences simply and by default, right? These are experiences, I'm sure that many of you are great developers and can customize the user experience to a very, very large extent, but that comes with a very high development cost. So if you, and if you look at many of the OEMs, the thing is, oh, I have to get my app ready before the image is going to be prepared, and I have this very short timeline, otherwise my device will not get to holiday of 16 or 17. then that means that, oh, okay, you know what, let's kind of move the design piece behind, let's focus on the functionality. So we want to make sure that, you know, you have an easy way to kind of make sure that your experiences are really beautiful on the device. And that is what Fluent is all about. So what we're doing is there are multiple layers at which we are making investments, right? There are certain fundamental platform capabilities which kind of make sure that there are certain, that beautiful UX is possible. We want to make sure that you have access to those templates which allow you to easily create these applications. I have a short video which kind of shows some of those experiences. We ourselves are working on some of these experiences, right? Our first party applications, the first party UI, all of these, we ourselves are working on that. And we want to make sure that our experience of doing that is something which is available to you in the form of samples and documents and so on. So these are the different layers at which we are working to make sure that this new design system is available for you. And it's something which you'll enjoy using and something which you would really relate to in terms of the quality of the experience. So I'll quickly go through this. Oops, sorry. So this is our new design system, and what was shown in the video was some of the types of interactions and user interface elements that you can create. I'm sure as you saw the video that many of you would have found, wow, this is really cool, right? It's really nice, it's really lively, it's very interactive, and it looks really nice, right? I mean, I would love to use an app which kind of has these kind of interactions. So Fluent is really based off five different building blocks, right? One is light. Light is what you really, which allows you to kind of create warmth. I mean, think of it, right? In this room itself, as the light changes, I'm sure the mood changes, things look different. It kind of creates a different environment, right? So we want to make sure that as an UI developer or a UX designer, you are able to use light to kind of create those experiences on the screen. Depth. So today, I mean, you have a two-dimensional view of the world largely, right? But increasingly what we find is that it would be really interesting to create depth in those experiences either on some of these devices, as well as you also have to be aware that there are certain new types of experiences which, for example, the mixed reality experience which you heard of, and you must have heard of holographic, etc. So as some of these experiences become part of the universal platform, or they are part of the universal platform, it is important that you as a UX designer have the flexibility to create all of these experiences with depth. The last one, the third one is motion, right? You must have seen that, you know, some of these animations, right? You click on something and something opens up. It's something which makes your interaction live, right? It kind of gives that, I would say, energy to that application. You kind of love that experience, right? The way things move, etc., rather than like just being like binary. Material allows you, again, like, you know, to create different types of sensory surfaces, different types of, I mean, it kind of gives you warmth in some cases. So you can use some of these different elements to kind of create different visual experiences. And the last one is scale, right? Today, we kind of largely are living in a 2D X by X kind of screen. But as you see, as mixed reality comes through, as holographic comes through, there is no limit to scale, right? I mean, you could live in a 3D world, which is boundless in a way, right? So we want to make sure that some of those experiences can also be catered to. So Fluent is really what we are working on from a design system perspective. Again, coming back to the point of why UWP, it really gets you, or it allows you to get into the it really brings forth a completely new set of experiences, again available on Universal Windows platform. Kind of switching gears now, right? I'm sure some of you, this looks really good. But what happens to all of these apps which I have, right? How can I move them into the store? So one thing which I think we've been talking about for quite some time, but I want to reiterate it here, is the desktop bridge, right? How many of you have used the desktop bridge? Just a quick raise of hands. Or have heard of it? Even heard of it? Okay, great. So it makes sense for me to talk about this. So the thing is, you know, we need to have an easy way for you to get from your desktop world to the Universal Windows platform. We understand it's a multi-step process, so what we really worked on is the desktop bridge. What does it really do? From one side, it really allows for simple, trustworthy install from the store, right? Of course, it does not allow elevated execution, but for a very large number of apps, I would say the vast majority of apps, works fine. You can put it into the store. It automatically get it downloaded if the user clicks on it from the store. Updates are automatic. You can service it in a very, very efficient manner through differential updates and so on. From an ISV perspective, right, many of you may have apps which you think, oh, my app is really cool, but I'm not able to distribute it outside of a certain set. The store is a great way for you to monetize it, right? Either, one, it provides a distribution channel. Two, by putting it into the store, it brings forth new monetization models, right? You can ask people to pay for your app, or you can say, take it free, but I have all these ads in the app, right? So ad-based monetization or different ways of monetization. And the last piece is that, you know, as we move our ecosystem into the store, you really want to be prepared for it, right? You don't want to wait till the very last moment to make sure that, oh, my apps are in the store, are still not in the store, and now there's no, like, timely way to get it into the store. I'm sure you'll be able to do it, but you want to make sure that you're prepared for this future. And hopefully, you know, like, the moment you put it into the store, it kind of encourages you to use more and more of the Universal Windows platform features, right? So some of the things we saw, like Fluent, or even some of the cross-platform experiences, these are just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the capabilities. And maybe two, I'm sure many of you are familiar with many more of them. But we really hope that this is the first step for you to get there. So how do you get there, right? I mean, what do you do? So the simplest thing you could use is something, we have something called as a desktop app converter, right? For those of you who haven't tried it out, or those of you who haven't heard of it, please make sure that you go to the desktop app bridge page. There's a very clear set of instructions on how you can take an application which is an MSI-based installer, use a desktop app converter, and convert it into an app which you can submit it to the store. Do all apps magically convert? Not really. But what does it really do? Like, you know, this is another thing which I think is very important for me to talk to you about. So we sometimes find that folks come with the impression that this desktop app converter actually converts the app itself. UWP. It really does not. What it really does is you can have, today you are mostly using an MSI-based installer. What it is really doing is it's kind of converting the installation mechanism, removing the MSI and instead putting an Apex-based install, which is what comes from the store. So the binary more or less remains the same. The only thing is now that it has a different type of installation mechanism, which is an Apex-based installation. So the moment you have it in the store, we really hope that it's like the first step for you, right? Believe me, if your app is easily convertible using the desktop app converter, all it takes is to set up the desktop app converter, run your MSI through that, and then, you know, you have an Apex which you can publish to the store and distribute it. Does it work like that all the time? Not always. But it's definitely something which you should, I would say it's at a bare minimum, you should 100% try it out. It's an easy, low-cost way for you to figure this out. And we understand that our IHV ecosystem and OEM ecosystem have a set of specific needs which are very important. So we have made a ton of investments in the creators update, some of which are very specific to what our OEMs have asked for, right? For example, the ability to pre-install Sentinel applications into the image. The fact that many of them tend to make modifications to the firewall, we have added support for that. Yesterday, we heard some of our partners talk about support for being able to install fonts. We have added support for that in the creators update. So we have been working with some of our top partners to really make sure that their feedback is also taken account of, and we are able to change the platform to make sure that some of these scenarios, which are very common across especially this particular ecosystem, is taken into account. So you do have a lot of capabilities to get your app into the store. I think you've heard a couple of folks talk about this. The tool is powerful enough for us to be able to use it on our own application. So all of you can imagine how complex Office is, right? The complexity, despite that complexity, it's completely like Desktop Bridge has been able to bring that into the store as a store app. So you saw Yoichiro yesterday show you Office on Win 10S. I mean, you can get it from the store today. And the way they did it was to use the Desktop Bridge. It's something which you can do so as well. I'm sure many of you have you kind of tend to use some of these pieces of software to kind of package the application and deploy it, like things like Install Shield or Advanced Installer or some of the other partners like FireGiant, InstallAware, et cetera. If you feel more comfortable to use these to create the apex, so think of it like this. You have a workflow where you package your app as an MSI. You could choose to package that app as an apex. And these tools now have inbuilt support for that. So if you have any kind of DevOps which automatically builds and packages the application into any of these formats, you can do that. Kind of continuing on the same topic, I would say. So Desktop Bridge is one way of doing that. I'm sure many of you have this question in your mind that, oh, we have a lot of apps which do pretty low-level stuff, and how can we get these apps into the store, right? Why do you really need to be in the store? Kind of, I will talk. I mean, it's the same thing, right? It's always updated. The user feels that it's safe and secure. You don't need to send him to some random site where some malware gets attached to it. Telemetry, right? I mean, especially if I look at some of our OEM and IHV partners, you tend to install applications which run on millions of devices, right? And it's really a great source of telemetry in terms of how the application is behaving, how is the user interacting with those. So sophisticated ways of collecting telemetry are easily available in these store applications. And the most important thing is this is our future, right? I mean, if you see Win10 apps, there are certain restrictions on what runs and doesn't run. Very simply, some of the legacy Win32 apps just don't run on that, right? So if you want to really prepare yourself, and this is like the first step towards that, if you want to really prepare for the future, you want to make sure that all of these things and assets which you have kind of at least have a part to get into the store. Is it going to happen overnight? I don't think so. But we really want to make sure that we can get you there. We do understand that, you know, you have certain unique scenarios, right? I mean, you tend to have low-level control. You tend to build apps which do help and support and do diagnostic information collection on the PC. You tend to extend the platform capabilities more than that, right? Creating extensions, et cetera, et cetera. And I know that many of you have questions. Oh, can I talk to drivers if I put an app in the store? Will I be able to access some of this WMI information? Can I change the registry from a UWP app? Do I have a binary answer to this? Not really. But can you do many of the things which you want to? We are fairly confident you can, right? So we have been working with quite a few partners. And if nothing, if you go away from this meeting with just one message that while, you know, Universal Windows Platform executes in a certain app container, what I really want to make sure is that there are different ways. UWP is not just one construct. There are variants of it which allow you to be able to do some of the things which you really care about, right? So how do you do that, right? Of course, if you have an app, one way is to just move it to UWP. If it moves as a UWP, nothing like it, right? It's a great simple way, works across platforms. However, if you still feel the need to kind of talk to certain pieces of hardware, et cetera, there are ways to do that. You have access to the Win32 API set. The desktop bridge is a great way for you to do that, right? You still have the power of the Win32 world, and yet you are in the store. Of course, it only works on the desktop. So, but maybe it's the first step for you to get there. And the last one is the hardware support apps, right? I mean, Viraf and Luke talked about it yesterday. So think of the hardware support app as an application which is a universal Windows app. It can be either a pure UWP or it can be a desktop bridge app, both of which count as a store app for us. And it can directly talk to some of the NT services and the drivers. So think of it. You have a store app which is able to talk to the service and the driver. Fundamentally, what it really means is you can do a lot of things which you care about from a hardware perspective, being able to control hardware, et cetera. So these are the different ways in which you can take some of your legacy investments and move it into the store. What is also important to remember is, you know, don't think that I have this and I have to move exactly the same thing into the store. Many a times you will find that it may be a good time to re-architect what you have today and kind of reconsider whether do I need to move this exactly as is or kind of make some changes and move into the store and take full advantage of it. We are fairly confident based on the engagements we've had with a whole bunch of partners that I'm not saying 100%, but I would say close to 100% we can get your applications into the stores. There may be some workarounds needed, there may be certain changes needed, but there are ways to get into the store. I mean, the question more is getting onto that path, right? I mean, if you just give up or if you just don't think of it, thinking, oh, there are all these limitations, that's not the right state to be in. You really want to make sure that you're moving towards that path. And that is a key message which I wanted to leave you with. This doesn't outline every single approach, but if you have an application, these are the buckets broadly which you should think about in terms of placing your application. Can I move it into UWP? Great, that's great. If not, maybe can I use the desktop bridge with a UWP component? That's another way. Or, you know, you can use a hardware support app, especially if it's talking to a piece of hardware on the device. Choose the best option. So coming to the last section of my slide, which is on accessibility, right? As I said, you know, you have applications and experiences which run on hundreds of millions of devices, right? The important thing is many of you do care a lot about the fact whether the user can do this or that on the machine, can change a setting, can change the display, can change. But the question also to ask is, can all of my users do it, right? Why do people care about accessibility? There are four things which we see in the market, right? One is reach. You can reach every user, right? You really want to make sure that every user of yours is able to use the PC or the device or the experience that you have created. The second thing is you want to make sure many of them tend to do this also because, you know, it kind of uncovers new facets of usability which are otherwise kind of not really taken care of. Many of you or your customers tend to sell to government. So let's say you're making a device and it has a component which or it has an experience on the screen which a person with different needs cannot access. That's a problem, right? I mean, many times there's a regulatory requirement that anything on the machine has to be support accessibility. And of course, helping people, right? That's the greatest goal. So you can always create an experience which, I mean, all of these are great, but you also want to help people, right? People who have different requirements. And you know, the funny thing is, it's not that people are born with permanent requirements. I mean, in your case, I mean, it could be that, you know, for example, you are in a very noisy place and you're not able to listen to things on the PC, right? Can you do certain smart things which work well for somebody who cannot hear, but also work well because the sound is such that audio is not the best way to hear, but there are other visual cues which tell you what you want to convey from an application. Or like maybe, you know, mobility is restricted because maybe you break a hand or something like that. So all of these are different use cases, and of course it helps people. not very difficult to do. The platform itself provides a whole lot of capabilities which are very easily accessible, very easy to achieve in your application platform. And don't try to make it like, when we say you have to make your app accessible, we don't want you to like say, oh, I have to design this app only for this person who cannot see. Don't overcomplicate it. Keep it simple. I think there are different tools which we provide. What you really need to do is you need to make sure that you can describe who your like what are some of the key aspects of the audience you want to target. Try to see that, you know, if you can get to some people who actually have those needs, right? Kind of get them to test. Yesterday you saw at the keynote somebody who could not see and the way he was interacting. I'm sure having somebody like that to maybe even evaluate what you're doing can help you be prepared. Windows itself provides a lot of capabilities which allow you to actually make sure that the controls, et cetera, are ready for accessibility. And the best thing is to use some of those because it kind of triggers certain events, et cetera. It has certain tags in them which really allow you to make sure that your application is accessible. And as you build, make sure some of the things like programmatic access, keyboard navigation, et cetera, is supported. And we also have certain tools, right? Visual Studio has UI analysis tools. You have Narrator in dev mode, which kind of allows you to see how the application works. So all of these are simple things which you could do, which allow you to make that your application accessible. There is a site which is msdn.microsoft.com/accessibility, which allows you to actually access all of our guidance, all of the capabilities in the platforms, et cetera. All of this is easily accessible. And of course, there are tools, right, being able to run, inspect, and act events to make sure that the appropriate events are being generated for testing your application. So that's really it. I mean, three messages, as I said, you know, the first one is we really hope that you really look at UWP as a platform and the direction in which you move in. The second is, of course, I really hope that, you know, you really see these different options of a desktop bridge, of UWP and HSA as a path to get your application into the store. And as you build these experiences, we really hope that you take care of everyone out there who needs to use your PC. So thank you. Thanks.